Abate la rimette dentro, esce Radu, porta vuota. Gol! Gol! Abbiamo battuto il gatto nero! Li abbiamo battuti tutti, Alessio! Grande Alessio! È bella la vita! Lava quella zolla, Alessio! Lava la quella zolla, Alessio!
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sempre Milan podcast. I'm going to be your host today, Anthony Torgrud. You can find me on Twitter at Torgrud45. Oliver is out today, so no words from him, but we are joined once again by Madison. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's just the two of us again. It hasn't just been two for quite some time. You guys can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Madison_DT.
Yeah, we're missing Oliver. He's just really lazy. Wanted to go to bed, I guess. I don't know. He didn't want to do his duties today.
It's like he's in England or something. I don't know. It's, you know, early evening here.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, we're all on different sides of the world. Madison and I are both in the U.S., but he's central east side, and I'm pretty west coast, so we're about
east coast,
to be different.
Yeah,
and Oliver's obviously across the pond, so big time differences, but we're here, we're glad to do it. You had the opportunity recently to actually go on the radio. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So for those of you in the United States who listen to soccer or watch soccer, there's a soccer station on Sirius XM that I listen to pretty much every day on my way to work. And I recently started tweeting at them and interacting with the show on Twitter. And one of the hosts, Ray Hudson, followed me back. So I sent him a message. I invited him onto the podcast. And in return, they invited me onto the show. And it was him and Charlie Stilettano. And to give you guys a background, he's the one who pretty much is the president of the ICC. So he is the one who pretty much brings all the teams to the United States to play in that summer tournament. And he is also a huge AC Milan fan. So it definitely helped out. So I went on the radio, talked about the new ownership, got his insight on it. He's actually like good friends with Paolo Maldini and Gattuso. So, like, he gave insight about them, which is pretty cool. I mean, I can imagine being good friends with Paolo Maldini, you know. Talked about the website a little bit. It was a pretty cool experience to talk about AC Milan with someone who has so much influence in the world sport. He was thescore.com, I think. It's a website or a magazine. They rated him as one of the most influential people in world football. So that's pretty cool as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's nice to have that connection there. And, you know, you mentioned the ICC. That's a tournament that ever since its inception has been kind of the premier preseason tournament. You know, it's kind of the top of the line for all the big clubs.
Yeah.
Milan's always in it. Barca, Real Madrid, PSG. I've gone to a couple of the games, actually. This past summer, I went to see Milan versus Manchester United, that game that had about 20 penalty shoots. I've gone to a couple, actually. I'm trying to think the others. I went to Leicester and PSG right after Leicester pulled off their crazy season. And the other one I went to was, that was a lot of fun. I was in the fan section with PSG, so a bunch of French people came to LA and we watched it there and had a blast. So glad that was organized. And then I went across the U.S. to Florida, the following summer, and watched PSG again, although this time I was cheering against them. I was with Tottenham, and Tottenham won that. So far, the only game I've been to where the team I wanted to win lost was a Milan game, surprisingly. So, better luck next time.
I wish I would have known you as well when you went to Florida. I would have totally joined you down there.
It was a blast.
But here in Detroit, they've had PSG Roma, which I didn't go to that game because it was on a Wednesday night. But then they also had Real Madrid Man United at the Big House, which is where the Michigan football team plays. And there was 110,000 people there. And that's bigger than both Stamford Bridge. Where the hell does Manchester United play? Old Trafford.
Trafford.
Yeah, man, I can't believe I forgot that.
Old Trafford, me too. I was like, where do they play?
And the Bernabeu. Like, so it's, you know, those players had, it's crazy to think that they had once-in-a-lifetime experience playing in Ann Arbor, Michigan. You know, that's my backyard. And then I also saw Milan and Byron in Chicago, and we beat them on penalty kicks.
Yeah.
And I remember this game very vividly because there was a guy, his wife, and his, like, three-year-old son who walked by us in Fernando Torres AC Milan jerseys. And I was just like, dude, why are you wasting your money? You know he's not going to be here for long, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I chirped at Montelivo a lot that game. It was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, they were a blast. The game I went to for Milan was Bonucci's final game ever with us, and that was interesting. I actually got to meet the team right before it, so
I was gonna say,
now that
yeah.
I think about it, there's a good chance I met Charlie. I believe he was there. I know I met some organizers. I don't remember, so maybe I did, maybe not. I don't know. But, yeah, I met the AC Milan Twitter admin, Pasquale Campapiano, which I probably just butchered his name, so Pasqu, if you're listening, I apologize. He's a buddy of mine, but we've only talked in person once. We normally tweet to each other. But he's a cool dude, and then I got to meet a bunch of the players, obviously Bonucci, and then he was gone like less than a week later. But still, a great experience. The ICC is a fantastic thing. Can't wait for this summer. I plan to go to another one for sure if available. And
were they signing stuff?
Yeah, I got a scarf signed. I'm looking at it. I see Kalinic on here, Locatelli, both of them are gone. I see Kessie, Halilovic, and I can't read who that is. Who's 14? Bakayoko's 14 now, but this was before Bakayoko was there, so I don't know who that is.
Dude, if you do that again, I might have to send you something to get signed.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
A jersey
definitely.
Or something. I've got an Inzaghi signed jersey. That's like my
I think I have Inzaghi on this. Was Inzaghi with us in our last, in 2011 when we won the Scudetto?
I think so.
So I have a jersey right above me that is not that season's jersey. It's actually like the 09 jersey, but it's signed by everyone that won the 2011 team. So like Zlatan and all
that.
Where
did you get that?
eBay. It was very expensive. so that's hanging up. The guy who framed it did a terrible job, so it's not presented well, but it's still really cool to have. So.
Yeah, there's a place in Plymouth that frames jerseys, and it's about $350 to get it framed, but it's totally worth it. I haven't done it yet because I'm super cheap and saving for a house, but it's just hanging in my closet for now.
Yeah, I think I spent maybe like $200, $250 on it. I don't know. I got it framed in about 4 years ago, but
okay.
But yeah, you know, we'll get in touch with Charlie again, hopefully get him on the podcast, and that'll be great. Sorry, just had a Coke, so a little burp there. But yeah, we'll get him on the podcast, and hopefully we can organize some stuff going forward and be a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, moving along now, on the agenda, the last week we talked about both Napoli games, and then we previewed Roma. Now we got to actually talk about Roma. Initial thoughts, what do you got? I'll give you the floor.
I thought we played all right in the first half. We definitely controlled a lot of the game. Our attack looked a lot stronger. Piontek scored another great goal. It's kind of weird having a player who's so deadly. I mean, we said that about Patrick Cutrone, but Piontek just took it to the next level. And so having him on the squad is just something else. Second half, we came out of the locker room, did not look as good. Unfortunately, conceded a goal. We were away from home, so, I mean, coming home with 1 point is better than coming home with no points. Suso looks horrible. I don't know what is going on with him. We talk about this almost every week. He starts the season strong, ends the season shitty. So I don't know what's going on. Maybe, hopefully, next season he starts super strong and we sell him in January, make some good money, and bring in a winger who's consistent throughout the entire season.
You know, I could actually see us selling Suso this summer. There's honestly a couple players, maybe even Kessie, which I don't want us to sell either of them. I like Suso a lot. A lot of people say he goes bad in February, which granted we've had two games in February and he hasn't really performed, so there's that. But I don't think his, as far as like average performance, I don't think it's dropped that much, man. I mean, he's not putting up like the goals and assists. I will say he did have a bad game against Roma. There, I'm not trying to deny that one bit. It was bad. He was selfish and not clinical in anything he did. And he lost the ball quite a bit as well. So all criticism totally justified in the Roma game. But overall, I think he's still got a lot to give to us. And if we were to sell him in the summer for 45, 50 million, you know, that I think that is solid. And with I'm under the assumption that we're still going to get Champions League. I firmly believe that we're going to secure that this year. And when we do that, you know, the financial influx that we're going to get from that, plus say we sell him, I think we're going to have a lot of flexibility to sign some, not maybe big name wingers, but some big money. Like if we need to drop some stacks, I think we can this summer. So, you know, if he leaves, it is what it is, as long as we can replace it. Because one thing we've been looking for quite a while now is a winger. And in this last window, so far as the winger went, we sold another one. So
yeah, right.
That kind of backfired a little bit, but it's not like Halilovic was going to play anyways. He wasn't too hot. Which now I'm realizing that I have, out of everyone signed on this scarf, none of them are there anymore but Kessié, because it was Kalinic, Halilovic, Locatelli, and Kessié.
Wow. I don't think Kessié is playing bad. I think he's being overshadowed by Bakayoko.
I agree. I think Bakayoko's performance has been so good, and on top of that, because the polar opposite, the transformation from when he was bad to now, it's hyping it up even more that it's completely overshadowing Kessié. Because you're right, he's not playing bad. He's being consistently good.
Right.
And when people see that, they don't like complacency. They want, you know, meteoric rises and spikes. And so because they're not seeing that, they're just saying he's getting bad. But really, he's just staying consistently good. Not to mention, he still hasn't had a rest in, what, like 90 games straight or something?
Yeah, ridiculous. I mean, he's been with us for – this is his second season. And next season, he should be hitting 150 games. That's unreal.
Yeah, that's insane. No one hits 150 games in three seasons.
No.
I think Reyna said he wanted to play 150 games with us, but I think he's at like 6 or 7 so far this season, so he's not going to hit that until like, yeah, it'll be like 2050 by the time he hits that.
Kind of sidetracking a little bit, talking about Bakayoko. He came out this week and stated that he wanted to stay with AC Milan because we are on a different planet. How does that make you feel?
Fantastic, the way it should. It makes me feel bad for Chelsea because I think currently Chelsea is on a different planet than us, like quality-wise. I think they would destroy us. But as far as like historically and the size of the club, yeah, we are. We're on a different planet than everyone but Real Madrid, in my opinion. I think that's the only club that's as big as us, if not bigger. There's other clubs that are bigger in terms of like financial stuff. You know, Manchester United's obviously more marketable. Even Arsenal probably is. But as far as global superpower, world recognition and respect, I think only Real Madrid and maybe Barcelona are above us.
I think I agree with everything that you just said, except actually, I agree with everything that you just said. but when it comes to the players know what clubs to go to, and they know the history of AC Milan. They know, like, what the badge means. They know who the, you know, like, so we still hold that superpower weight because of the history that this team has, the players who have played for us. Like, being a top recruited defenseman from, you know, if Maldini is trying to get you to come to AC Milan or they're trying to get you to come to Manchester City, some GM, you know, or president. I don't know how it works. But who are you going to go to? Are you going to go work with Paolo Maldini, who's the greatest defender to arguably ever play the game, you know, as an 18-year-old?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. And I'm glad you actually brought up Maldini because one thing that one of the arguments I made in the summer that I got to admit that I was wrong on was everyone wanted Maldini to join in some capacity back when we were like with the Chinese, and I didn't care. I was like, we don't need him. He's like, he's not going to play. Obviously, he's going to be doing clerical work that he's not good at. He's never done it before. Like it's irrelevant. Doesn't matter. I'm totally wrong. And Bakayoko even said it. You know, in that interview where he said we're on another planet, he had said when he arrived, and he's greeted by Paolo Maldini and Leonardo, that's when it hit him that just like this is another level.
Yeah,
and you're right. You know, when you see the greatest defender of all time, the only person who could rival that is more Milan players, you know, like we are the defense team in the past. And it really changes the player's perspective. You know, he's a person that everyone respects in the footballing world. No one's ever said a bad thing about him. Even Inter fans respect him, you know. I mean, it's just one of those things. So having him there, it does. It has a lot of weight. And Leonardo obviously bringing in guys like Paqueta, you know, saying Kaká's his idol. Having Kaká even around, I think he was toying with the idea of being on in some capacity, if not just an ambassador for us. And it really does do a lot for our image, having these legends around and helping us grow like that, because they know what the club's supposed to be like, and they could continue to keep it going that way. So I'm glad to be wrong in that aspect. I'm thrilled about it, honestly, because they've done a fantastic job in both transfer windows. Yeah, we didn't get a winger, but we got a lot of stuff, and we had drama in the window with Higuain, so that kind of overtook all the priorities and became priority was now we have to replace Higuain, and we did a fantastic job, and then we kept moving forward, and we almost did it on deadline day with a few players. So, you know, I think they've been fantastic in their capacity.
We didn't only replace Higuain, we upgraded massively.
I don't know if I will agree with that yet, but I think I'm getting there. I mean, Piontek's obviously done better for us. Like, he's been fantastic. He's played three games, and he's got three goals, right? Three goals in,
in two games.
Something like that. Yeah, because the first Napoli game, he played like 10 minutes, so I'm not really going to count that. I mean, that's huge, obviously. Like, there's no arguing that. He's been great, and the upside financially, he's much cheaper. He's younger. He's a Milan fan, so he has that hunger for it. And he wants the number nine, so he's going to prove himself for it. I think that was another strong move that Maldini and Leonardo did, you know, was he said, I want the nine, and they said, no, you got to earn that on the pitch, because we're tired of giving it to people who don't know what it means. And I think that's huge. That's a big one. So,
Do you feel bad for Cutrone at all? He keeps on getting moved down to the bench with all these new strikers who are coming in?
I don't, because I think he is a Milan fan, and he knows the fans love him. He knows that his time is going to come, and he's going to get a lot of playing time. Even if he's not starting every single game, he's getting so much time. I bet he starts against Lazio in the Cup. You know, we got to the two semifinal legs coming up. I bet he'll start there, maybe a few games in the season against the lower sides or something. Not to mention subbing off. You know, they're going to interchange. Probably one will play 70 minutes, the other will play 20 each game, you know, and then we'll just keep swapping around.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he's going to get plenty of time, because I think we still need a third striker, you know. So it's hit or miss, but I think he's comfortable in his role. He knows his role, and he knows that that the competition between him and Piontek is only going to be creating the best for both of them. So I think it's good to have it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Kind of change the subject back to Roma. Donnarumma had a fantastic game.
Yeah, I think we win that game with a clean sheet if it wasn't for Musacchio kind of goofing up there. But
yeah.
Donnarumma, once again, just on fire. He's been, without a doubt, the man of the match for the last... No, not man of the match, but he's been...
Arguably the guy. Man of the match.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not Bakayoko, it's been him, you know, and he's kept us in the last few games quite a bit. If we had Diego Lopez back in or Pepe Reina, I bet we either draw or lose a few of the games that we won in that streak. Because I think in the last 10 games, he's had 7 clean sheets, and it's not like they were easy games. I mean, we were getting freaking sprayed, just peppered, and he was blocking everything. He was doing incredible saves, too, not just simple little shoves and stuff. I mean, low, close to you, those are the hardest ones. Any keeper will tell you that. Knocking him out, foot saves, I mean, jumping, dive, everything. He's got his swagger back for sure.
Yeah, I did a season preview. I'm going to try and find it on the website here. But I'm like 99.9% sure that I said that Donnarumma was going to be, here, I found it, a breakout player of the year. Let's see.
Well, you wouldn't be far off. I mean, I'd say
I did.
Either him or Bakayoko.
I said that. And the reasoning was because we signed Pepe Reina, and behind his training, well, not his training, but his, you know, helping him learn, and not playing every single game, you know, is going to help him immensely. And it has done nothing but help him immensely.
Well, there, you know, I think there might have been a turning point in the season for for Donnarumma, and I think it was Reyna playing. You know, they both were doing, honestly, pretty poor in the beginning of the season, and I think Gigio was just so comfortable in his position that he was never going to be challenged for it. And then Pepe Reyna had that game in the cup where he just, or maybe it was Europa League, I don't remember, but he went off. He had like 8 or 9 saves and kept a clean sheet, and it was a tough game, and people were like, maybe Reyna should start. Like, Donnarumma hasn't been too hot. Mm-hmm. Maybe. And then the next game, Donnarumma came out, and he's been an alien ever since then. He's just killed it. So I think he saw, like, look, you know, I might not always start, remember? He's realizing that when he was 16, he overtook a legend in Diego Lopez because Lopez wasn't performing, and that could happen to him. You know, someone could step up if he's not performing. And I think he's learning that now as he matures in age. And obviously 19 still a very, very young age. I mean, shit, the dumb things that I was doing at 19, like, don't compare to anything that this kid's got going on in life. So,
I was
going to
say, you probably should not share what you did when you were 19 publicly.
we'll keep that one on off the record there. But yeah, I think he's just kind of grown into his role here and realizing how important he is to this club. Yeah. And really, he's owned up to the amount of money we're paying him, that everyone's like, oh, if he's making that kind of money, he better prove it, like, that he's worth this, and he is. He's absolutely earning that money, and then some. You know, if he's getting bonuses on the side, or even if he wants a contract renewal later, fuck it, go for it. I think he's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, he is the best young goalie in the world right now, and
I will
argue that. At the beginning of the season, he was not, like, he was maybe top five, but the past, you know, 3 months, he has really gotten into his form. And, you know, he could single-handedly be the reason why we finished top four.
Yeah, honestly, I completely agree with you. And another thing, though, is, like you mentioned, young goalkeepers. I don't think there's a country out there right now who has more young, talented goalkeepers out there. And I'm just referring to a tweet from a friend of ours, Matt Santangelo. Most of you guys probably follow him on Twitter. He writes for a bunch of different sites, but he had listed, he named four, and I'm thinking of five right now, but Donnarumma, 19, Alex Meret, 21, Alessio Cragno, 24, Emil Adero, 22, and then Pizzari is also like 17 or 18. That's five under 24 goalkeepers in Italy that are all fantastic. Like, dude, Italy's set in net for the next, you know, couple decades, I think. Like,
I mean, Italy produces some fantastic goalies. And I know I'm going to sound like a homer right now, but, dude, the United States always has a world-class goalie on their team.
You know what's weird is I always think their goalies are pretty trash until they're playing for national team. Like, I never was impressed with Tim Howard. I know you liked him because he was an Everton dude, but I've never been impressed until, I think it was the 2014 World Cup.
Against Belgium. So,
Yeah, when he went friggin' in there, that was nuts. And then, who's the other new goalkeeper?
Zach Steffen?
Really yeah.
He just signed with Manchester City.
Did he really?
Yeah, he moved on from the MLS, signed with City. Pretty sure he's going to join them in June.
Wow, good for him.
Yeah. And then we got, this is completely off topic from AC Milan, but we can talk about it later, because I'll just go off. I follow the U.S. team pretty deep.
So, sorry, yeah, let's get back on topic. Sorry, I was looking up Zach Steffen, and I was just really curious about that Man City move. I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Another U.S. guy that made a big move was Christian Pulisic. This window went to Chelsea and then back to Dortmund on loan. He's going to join them in the summer.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about that. I plan on buying a Pulisic Chelsea jersey.
You are the worst Tottenham fan that I have ever met.
I know. I'm a Tottenham fan, but, like, not 100%. Like, I support them, but, you know, I'm not going to get the cockerel tattooed on me. Like, I got the Diavolo on me and Rui Costa quotes. Like, I'm a Milan guy through and through. It's just my best friend is a Tottenham guy, born and bred. His dad was from Tottenham, and they got me into the sport, so I watch them and I respect them and I love Tottenham. But some of my best friends at home right now, you know, Dan, the guy I was just talking about, he lives in Florida. So, but my buddies back home here, they're Chelsea people, so I watch a lot of Chelsea games too. In fact, when they played Huddersfield, Ollie's team, I wore my Higuain jersey just to support them, and then of course he got two fucking world class sick goals. But so yeah, I like them both. You know, I'm not a Premier League guy in general. Like, I follow it because I love the sport, but I don't know. I mean, I say I'm a fan, but I'm whatever.
I've got an Everton tattoo on my right arm. I'm getting my AC Milan tattoo on my left arm. Do you know how much shit I'm going to get for having two soccer team tattoos?
Like, I thought about it, yeah.
You know, like, I was just like, you know, but fuck it. Like, they're my two favorite teams. They never play against each other. They're completely different teams. Like, Everton is fucking horrible, you know, and AC Milan is, like, the top, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to have a good and a bad team, you know, and lately it's been Milan's been my bad team and Tottenham's been my good team. Yeah. But I think things are finally starting to even out, even though Tottenham's currently in third with Liverpool dropping points today. You see that?
Oh, I was so happy. Yeah, that was going to be my next point. If Pulisic moved to Liverpool, I would have rooted for Liverpool to still lose every game that they've ever played with him. Like, it doesn't matter that he's the best national team player that we have. I hate Liverpool more than anything else in the world.
Yeah, I have a strong dislike for Liverpool as well, which is weird because I have a Liverpool jersey. I have family in Chester, which is pretty close to Liverpool, and they're Liverpool fans. So I was like, yeah, you know, get me a Luis Suarez jersey, and they bought it for me. It was during the summer. They shipped it, and before it even arrived, he got announced at Barca. And then the day it arrived, he bit Chiellini in the World Cup, and I was like, well, fuck this guy.
Oh, that's fantastic. But, yeah, I do not like him.
Yeah, a bunch of funny shit there. But anyways, back to Milan. That's what people are listening for.
Yeah, like I was about to say.
At least 10 people just turned off the podcast right now.
Hey, man, I'm enjoying myself, so.
Yeah, I'm having a good time. What were we talking about, though? Oh, Roma. Yeah, so it ended up 1-1. Piontek got a goal. Paqueta with the assist on that. And then Musacchio with a big-ass blunder that fucking screwed us there. We really, honestly, we should have won that game. There was a penalty that didn't get called that should have. I heard people say it was offsides. I've yet to see that. I've gone back and looked at it. It doesn't look offside. It looks a little close, but not a single linesman, not the ref. No one signals for it. No one says anything after it. There's not a silent VAR check. If there is, they don't mention it. They really fucking screwed the pooch on this one. They should at least notify the fans of what's going on, or the players, because there's no reason to book fucking, who was it? It was Kessie or Paqueta or someone for dissent for not giving the penalty. At least explain yourself. Say, hey, it was offside. That's why we didn't give it. Because, of course, at the highest level, you're going to get fired up people, kind of like I'm getting right now. But they're playing. It's their livelihood. They're going to be fired up when you don't call a clear and obvious penalty. Let that slide. Explain yourself like you should. You're the referee or the official. Mm-hmm. You need to explain what's going on. Don't just start throwing cards left and right. This fucking clown Maresca or whatever, our referee that night. Ooh, he had 67 yellow cards and four red cards in his last, like, 11 games. Some god-awful number. Like, ridiculous. This guy needs to get carded himself. He needs to sit out. He needs to watch the game, cool off. I don't know if he's a fan of fucking, I don't know, like, trash team and he's just grumpy or he's got, like, a slip disc in his back or something, but he's upset. He needs to relax. He needs some milk. He needs to calm down and just take a break. But anyways, now I'm upset. Is there any other topic you would like to discuss about Roma?
No, not at all. My cousin lives in Rome. She's a Roma fan. So,
well, that's about that'd it. Be really cool if she wasn't a Roma fan. whatever.
So the Cagliari game.
Yeah, so moving on, we got Cagliari in 4 days' time. When you guys hear this, it'll probably be 2 or 3 days' time. But this Sunday, it's, for me, a noon o'clock game. Noon o'clock. It'll be a noon game, which sucks, honestly. I hate those. But we're...
Did you just call it a noon o'clock game?
Yeah, dude, it's been a long day, okay? It's been a long day for me. But Biglia's supposed to be back. He might get called up. He did a full training session with the team today. Definitely not going to start. but you know, he might play well. Cagliari is not a team that we struggle against. I think in the last 14 or 15 games, we've won like 11 of them and maybe drawn 3 or 4. So I'm not too worried at all about them. They're sitting at 15th. It's a decent season for them. They normally hover around 17th. So moving on up a bit there, but yeah, a win here, you know, puts us confidently back in fourth place. I'm assuming we're going to drop to fifth tomorrow when Lazio play, because they're playing some low level team. I don't remember who. Empoli, and they'll probably jump us, but we should be good to go.
I would say we should definitely win this game by a sizable score.
Yeah, if Piontek keeps his form, I wouldn't be shocked if he gets another brace. I mean, he needs a break. I'm glad that, like, did you see how tired he was leaving the Roma game?
Yeah.
He was exhausted.
Yeah.
He was tired in, like, the 70th minute, and Gattuso just had a terrible game, in my opinion. He waited till the 85th minute to sub him off, and both Suso and Piontek, both exhausted. Suso just having a bad game in general, but Piontek was tired. Should have both came off like 20 minutes earlier. And what pissed me off the most is the game's 1-1. It's a critical game. It's like a 9-point game. It's the team directly below us. The teams above us lost, and the teams below us also lost. Like, if we were to win that would have been massive. There's 5 minutes plus extra time left, and they're walking off the pitch as slow as they possibly can. I get it. You're tired, but fucking hustle. This is your livelihood. This is the game on the line. We got to win. The people coming on, Cutrone, full of energy, Castillejo or Laxalt or whoever came on for Suso, ready to go. You know, they want to prove themselves, so hurry up. Let's make this change. So that upset me, wagging my finger to Suso and Piontek for that. But anyways, Cagliari, who do you think is going to be in the lineup?
Oh, man, I bet Cutrone gets the starting spot up top. I think that he's going to give Piontek a break, unless he plays a 4-2-2, because we only have one game this week. That'd be pretty great. Çalhanoğlu on the left, Suso on the right, midfield of Kessié, Paqueta, and Bakayoko. I bet Abate gets a start over Calabria, and then Romagnoli, Musacchio, and Rodriguez. Pretty simple. And then Donnarumma. Antonio, of course, not Gigi.
Right, yeah. Right. No, I think you're pretty spot on for the most part. We do play Atalanta after, who is, the top scoring side in the league right now. They concede a lot, but they're not an easy team to beat, especially in Bergamo. When we're going away to them, I think that, like, if we drop points this month, I mean, obviously we did against Roma, but if we drop any more this month, it's going to be against Atalanta. So I think you're right. We might rest Calabria, or maybe, and I really doubt this, what if Conte starts against Cagliari just for like a little bit, just to see how it goes? That'd be cool.
Oh my God, I would be so happy.
Dude, he needs it. He needs to get back in there. I know he's healthy. He's probably not fit, you know, getting back in there, because it's not like when you're recovering from a knee injury, you're doing any cardio, you know. So he's probably not the most fit right now, but he's healthy again. So I would like to see him get a start, get a few minutes in there, you know. I think it's nice that he's been getting like the last 10, 15, I think 20 was the most minutes that he got. But I think it's critical to get a start. Playing from the start, even if it's only for one half, you know, I think that is important. There's something to be said about playing the first half as opposed to the second half. The second half, the game's already set in its way. You could dictate the pace yourself if you play from the start. So I think it would be nice to get him a start in there. Probably not going to. I think you're right with Abate. And I still think Piontek gets the start, though. I think Cutrone might start against Lazio in the cup, but I'm pretty sure Piontek's going to start in the league for here on out. Unless he starts doing bad. That's the only way I see Cutrone coming back up.
Yeah, maybe I just feel bad for him, so I want to see him get the start.
Yeah, I would like to see it too.
But yeah, I mean, should be a pretty fun game to watch. I hope Bakayoko gets a goal. So bad.
He deserves a goal. He has yet to get one.
Yeah, dude, Baka, oh, man, that'd be great. He's been close a few times, and he deserves it, man, for the way the fans love him now, dude. That would be so cool just for everyone cheering his name. And did you see that video of, I don't remember what game, the last game at CNC, I think it was against Napoli. The announcer was reading off the names, and he read off Montolivo, and there was, like, no excitement in his name, like, very few claps in the stand, and the next one was Piontek, and he gave, like, the like a Bruce Buffer or a Michael Buffer announcement hype, and everyone just erupted. I felt so bad for Montolivo.
Dude. He's so bad.
I guess that's really mean. I will tag you in it on Twitter here. I mean, watch it, obviously, when we're done recording, but
okay.
It was really good. Yeah, what else is there to talk about? I mean, I know this has been a short episode, but we had a very long one last week out, and
yeah, I'm not sure. How's Arizona? It was negative 20 here last week.
I know, you had that polar vortex. Yeah, it's been a frigid, like, 80 degrees out for me. I haven't worn a sweater in a few days. I'm sad. Winter is my favorite time of the year because I'm fat. So heavy
you
coats are
nicer. You don't
nicer.
Have a winter.
I know. The coldest it gets here is, like, 60.
Yeah, I think I was sending you Snapchats on my way to work, and it was, like, negative 17. That's Fahrenheit, by the way. That's not Celsius. So it was like negative 28 Celsius or something.
It might have been more. It was like negative 30, I think. It was ridiculous for you.
Yeah.
That was nuts. Yeah, dude. I wear shorts, flip-flops, sandals, t-shirts in January, December. I think, yeah. I wore a sweater when I was up in the hills in the snow in a cabin this year, but that's
During your photo shoot?
That's the one, yeah. Yeah, I did some modeling for those of you guys curious. No, I went to a bachelor party, and we took some pictures. It was fun. We did other things, obviously, but there were pictures. That's what Madison is referring to. Anyway,
pictures. It was fun.
I honestly don't have anything else to discuss, really.
It's been
pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Just looking at the games ahead, we have four more games this month. Cagliari. Easy peasy, Atalanta, we're probably going to drop points. And then Empoli, easy peasy again. And then this is where it gets a little fucked up because all these games are a week apart perfectly, except for after Empoli, 3 days later, we play Lazio away in the semifinal of the Coppa Italia. That's a tough game. I think it's a winnable game. But the good news is we play the second leg at home, so we'll know what we got to do, and we can definitely get it done there. Maybe hot take, maybe not. I think we win the cup this year. What do you think?
I think we have the best squad in the Coppa Italia. We will see what happens, though. I'm not going to say anything because I do not want to jinx it, but I think we have a very strong chance.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at it now. Ciro Immobile is really the only threat on Lazio, and we've neutralized him in the last, like, I don't know, three or four meetings. I think we beat them soundedly, maybe 3-1 on aggregate. And then the other side is Atalanta and Fiorentina. Fiorentina is certified poop. They beat Roma 7-1, but they are they're poop. They're not good. No reason they should be in a semifinal. They've gotten lucky all around. Atalanta, 3-0'd Juve. They truck-stick them. They slaughter Cagliari. They're going to beat Fiorentina, and it's going to be us and Atalanta, and we're going to beat them 3-1 in the final in extra time. It's going to be Piontek with an equalizer at halftime. It's going to go to extra time, and then Cutrone is going to come on and get two fucking quick ones to smash it home.
There we go.
An unnecessary prediction, but you heard it here first, folks.
I would love for him to get a game winner just so he knows that we love him.
Yeah, dude, and the trophy would be so nice. I mean, mm-hmm. We've won a Super Cup, but they're, as far as, like, we'd be moving up, you know. The Coppa Italia is a bigger trophy than the Super Cup or the Community Shield or however it's called in each country, and then obviously above that would be the league, and then Champions League above that. Where would you rank Europa League in that? Would you put Europa League above the actual table or below it?
I would put it would be Serie A, Coppa Italia, Europa League.
Going down, obviously.
Yeah.
So you weigh the Coppa Italia more importantly than Europa League?
Yep.
Interesting. I would do Coppa Italia least important, Obviously above Super Cup, and then Europa League, then Serie A, then Champions League being the most important.
That's fair. I just don't think that people take Europa League very serious.
Yeah, they don't. Neither do I, honestly. I wanted to win it the two seasons that we've been in it because we've been shit and we haven't won that trophy.
I was about to say, it's one of the trophies that we have not won yet.
Yeah, I think it's like the only major trophy we haven't won that we can win. So that would have been really cool, but it is what it is. I'd rather they get an eighth Champions League trophy. Do you think we get back in Champions League this season? I don't know what my question is. Do you think we, someone catches us in Champions League trophies before we get back into the Champions League?
No, because no one can.
Right. I mean, unless Barca pulls it off. I mean, they got, because I don't think Real Madrid's going to win it this year. I think they're done.
I think Real Madrid's on the down. I don't think Barca's going to win it. I think we're going to have an upset this year.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. Real Madrid's playing Ajax. I'm pretty sure they'll get through that. Tottenham's playing Dortmund. I think Tottenham will win that. Roma's playing Porto. I bet Porto wins that. That'll be the upset, in my opinion. United, PSG. I'm going to go United. Neymar's out for both those fixtures. I think United's going to win that.
Dude, and that coach has reunited something in that squad.
Yeah, they've been on fire, I think. 10 straight games without a loss, and only this most recent one was a draw. The rest have been wins.
Yeah.
I think Barca's going to beat Lyon. Bayern and Liverpool's a close game, but I think Bayern will get it. Schalke and City, I bet City wins that. And then Atletico and Juve. That one is the most even game, in my opinion, of them all. I think Atletico is on Juve's level, but obviously Ronaldo is like the X factor there, so we'll see what happens.
Say that one more time. Who's the most even one?
Atletico Madrid and Juventus.
I think Bayern Munich and Liverpool is more exciting.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting take. Why do you think it's more exciting?
Because I think either of those teams can realistically win.
I don't think Liverpool's going to win it, man. I just don't want them to, so I'll come up with any reasoning in my head.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't think that they're going to win Champions League. I think that matchup they can win.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That matchup can definitely go either way, for sure. All right, well, that was a quick one, a lot shorter than the last week. I think last week we did like an hour and a half. This week we got about 45 minutes in. But any closing thoughts for us, Madison?
Forza Milan.
Forza Milan, I like it. All right, well, I've been your host, Anthony Torgrud. You could find me again on Twitter at Torgrud45. Also follow, obviously, us, SempreMilan.com, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm sure you're already there if you're listening to this. Milan Gifts, Milan Data, our other Twitter accounts there. A lot of cool stuff going on there. Download our app on Google Play and Apple App Store. Lots of stuff. What else? This episode definitely has been brought to you by our good friends over at Euro Fantasy League. Check them out by looking at our pinned tweet on Twitter, and you can find a lot more details there. Madison, go ahead and sign yourself off.
Yeah, it's been a great, quick episode. You guys can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Madison_DT. You guys can also find us on Spotify. Interact with us on Twitter. Let us know what you guys think about the podcast. We love to hear your guys' feedback, positive or negative. So yeah, that's about all we got.
Yeah, that's a great point, honestly. Interact with us. You know, we're open. We like to do that. Talk shit to me, honestly. Like, I have no problem arguing with people. I enjoy it. So if you want someone to just fight with you, you know, say at Torgrud45, you suck, and we'll go at it. It'll be fun. On that note, thank you guys so much for listening, and enjoy your night.
Patrick, mettila in mezzo, Patrick, palla nostra, Suso, tira Alessio, Suso, tira, perché non tiriamo? Ma perché non tiriamo? Gol! Alessio Romagnoli, gol! Alessio Romagnoli! Alessio! Il gol del capitano ancora! Ancora l'ultimo, come Gilardino, detto ieri in conferenza.